questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio for today's discussion, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Nur Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of haqqun nas, or the rights of the people, which is upon someone's shoulder. This is the, we can't say exact translation for that. Sometimes we are indebted to the people around, and in order to make up that debt we owe them, we have to, we can say, do something. It is upon our shoulders, and we have to, we can't say, compensate for that. But unfortunately, sometimes we miss the time, we do not find the chance. And that's why they say that haqqun nas is upon your shoulder till the day of judgment, and you have to compensate for that. First of all, give us a definition of haqqun nas. What is that, and how to make it up?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Haqqun nas, or huququn nas, the rights of people, actually is one of the important Islamic issues, especially in ethical issues of the teachings of Islam. First of all, is referring to the wealth of people. What common people understand from rights of people, they understand that is kind of financial rights of people. And actually it is.
Yes.
One aspect of that is a financial aspect of the people. For example, we are not allowed to usurp the wealth of people, or to receive any part of the wealth of people without the permission of that individual. It is granted, and it is commonly accepted by all human beings.
Yes.
And second, we have some the rights of people with regards to the security of people. Okay. Some people disturb the security of people. Mm-hmm. Actually, it is one of the biggest rights of people. Sometimes we have mental security of people, you know.
Yes.
These are very important rights of people.
Okay.
Nobody is allowed to disturb or to, you know, injure any kind of human being, you know, by any excuses. Not to bother people, not to make them sorrowful,
yes,
you know, not to dishearten the people.
Yes.
Not to frighten people.
Yes.
These are actually considered to be rights of people.
Yes.
Any kind of disturbance to people, mm-hmm, mentally, emotionally, physically, they are considered to be the rights of the people.
Yes.
And another point is a reputation of people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You do not have any rights to disgrace the people.
Yes.
Except, for example, when you go to the courts, when there is a, you know, kind of dispute, and it is legally accepted to offer something, you know, into the court, it is, you know, exceptional. But generally speaking, we do not have rights to this respect the people. You know, we have a lots of narrations of Ahlul Bayt in this regard. For example, talking about the one aspect of the human being with regard to the financial aspect of the human being. And of course, other aspect and dimension of the rights of people, we have plenty of narrations. But I would like to emphasize that, you know, that how this divine religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful.
Yes.
Taking care of all dimensions of the rights of the people.
That's right. Know? Okay. And for sure, there is a main difference between haqqun nas and haqqullah, you know, because the right of the people is different from the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say making up for the right of the people is more difficult than haqqullah, is it?
Exactly.
Why? Why is it so?
Because when you, for example, miss your prayer, it is actually the right, you miss the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can easily compensate that. Okay,
mm-hmm,
you can do Salatul Qada, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, inshallah, your prayers. But when you For example, usurp one, wealth of people, or you have some kind of dishearten the people, or to cause any kind of disgrace of people. In that case, it is very difficult to make that individual pleased with you. And sometimes it is impossible.
Uh-huh.
For example, okay, you disgrace the lady,
okay,
publicly, for example, especially through this social media.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to, again, make her pleased with you?
That's
after
right,
this disgrace that you, for example, put it into, I don't know, audio clips or any kind of, kind of disgrace for that,
yes,
lady. How do you want to compensate that?
Okay.
It is somehow impossible.
Especially sometimes the consequences are really harsh. For example,
yeah,
disgracing a lady or an actress or an actor and making her or him committing suicide.
Exactly.
Because of saving the face, okay? So on that time, you cannot at all do that.
Exactly.
And it is upon your shoulder. You cannot repent for that. You cannot do tawbah for that. If it was the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there might be some remedy. But if it is the right of the people, since it is the right of the people, there is no healing for that.
Very
right,
difficult. We cannot be judgmental. We cannot,
yes,
take care of the... actually, there's a lot of rumors about,
uh-huh,
different people.
Okay.
Especially via the social media, they spread lots of rumors, false information about different individuals, whether officials or non-officials, people, any or even ordinary people,
mm-hmm,
they cause and they spread a lot of misinformation about those people. We have to be 100% sure about,
yes,
that individual, whether this information I receive and I got it is, authenticated or not.
Yes. That's right.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Can you give us some of the main examples of Haqq al-Nas?
For example, we have different, as I mentioned, what common people understand from this Haqq al-Nas and the rights of people. They understand it to be financial aspect of that. And of,
yes,
course, as I mentioned, it is to some extent true.
Okay.
Because the wealth of people is very important.
Yes.
You cannot usurp the wealth of people or even public wealth.
Yes.
You cannot cause damage to any kind of property of people. In one narration, we have, لا يحل لأحد أن يتصرف في مال غيره إلا بإذنه. You are not allowed to usurp the wealth of people except by his or her permission.
That's right. Yes.
I believe that even if we take care of this single narration, many, many economic problems of, society would be resolved.
Yes.
If we take care of the rights of the people, okay?
Yes.
And not to usurp the rights of people except by the permission, you can find a lot of examples for these even single narrations that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we, the divine religion of Islam is alive. Because the Ahlul Bayt, the progeny of Noble Prophet Muhammad, they have mentioned general concept,
yes,
which can find a lot of examples related to the contemporary era and modern era.
That's right.
And because of that, so some people, they say that accuse Islam to be ancient religion,
mm-hmm,
not related to the contemporary era. What about these kind of plenty, hundreds examples of the conceptual aspect of Ahlul Bayt? They gave us a lot of general concept. Okay, if I want to be technically speaking, these are qadaya haqiqiyya,
mm-hmm,
which means these are general concepts which can find a lot of examples till the day of judgment.
Yes.
Okay?
That's right.
So because of that, this religion is alive. related to the modern era, contemporary era, and qualified juries can find many examples related to these issues. Let me go to another one. ليس بولي لي من أكل مال مؤمن حراما. You are not true followers of Ahlul Bayt if you eat up the wealth of people without their permission. You see how great emphasis of Ahlul Bayt have been put upon the wealth of people and the property of people.
Sometimes we have a problem even among the believers of a society. They go to the mosque, they pray, or they do the fasting during Ramadan. They are absolutely careful about Haqqullah. But as long as they are out of the religious place and in their interaction with the people around, they do not observe the rights of the others. For example, they are in the street, they are driving the car, they do not, for example, observe the right of the others. They are, for example, in the market or in the line of, I don't know, bakery, grocery, okay? Or we can say in different places, in the markets, in the malls. They do not observe the rights of the people. They are believers, okay? At the time of Adhan, they pray and they do Salat on time. But as long as they are in the society, they are not at all careful about the rights of the others. So how we can really find a remedy to this social problem for the believers?
You're right. When we say that the new Islamic civilization, one of the aspects of this new Islamic civilization is that to make clear for people that when you are religious people, actually, it does not mean that you only go to the mosque and pray and fast. Of course, these are important aspects of religion, but to be religious means to consider other aspects of your religion, one of which is to consider the rights of people. For example, for driving, I don't know, different examples that you mentioned.
Yes.
You have to be extra careful if you want to be religious. And unfortunately, in some Eastern countries, you find these problems because they misunderstood religion, you know. And we have to make it clear for people. If you go to the, you know, traditions of Ahlul Bayt, you find that how they were extra careful of the rights of people, even emotional rights of people. Not to dishearten, not to disrespect even, for example, baby, you know, how careful they were about the rights of people. But unfortunately, we are far, some of us at least, far from the real tradition and seerah of Ahlul Bayt, and we misunderstand the religion.
That's all right, especially about the neighbor, the right of the neighbors. And you know, different rights. I want to give a very good example by, we can say, Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam. Of course, it was first written in a form of a letter to one of the companions of Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam. But nowadays, you can find it in a format of a book too. And that is Risalatul Huquq, the treatise of rights. And over there, more than 50 rights of the people, especially of the people. Of course, some of the rights are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but most of them are about the rights of the people.
Exactly.
What are the rights of your teacher? What are the rights of the students? What are the rights of your, for example, neighbors? Yeah. Or spouses to each other, father and child? You know, really fascinating.
Exactly.
More than 1,000 years ago, the Shiite fourth Imam, Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, wrote a pamphlet, a treatise on the rights of the human beings, how to interact with each other in the society based on the social, we can say, values and divine values. And it shows the significance of the rights of the people in the Muslim community, something which is misunderstood, unfortunately, even by some Muslim scholars.
Exactly. Right now, I invite my dear listeners to go to these treatises of rights of Imam As-Sajjad, especially for those people who accuse the religion of Islam to be against the human rights, to go and study the Risalatul Huquq of Imam As-Sajjad. Alhamdulillah, it has been translated. Many books have been published
into English
in this regard. Yes, in English and in other languages. You find the treatise of rights of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, talking about the different rights of people. Very beautifully, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam expand on this issue and how he is taking care of the rights of the people and rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rights of your body.
That's right.
Different
organs of your
body. Organs of your body have rights upon you. And you have to do that.
Yes, that's all right. The right of the eyes, the right of the ears, tongue. You know, really outstanding book. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you. And we hope that especially in today's modern lifestyle, we are more careful and, as you said, extra careful about the rights of the people around. Because in this new system of the living, for example, in the apartments, we are usually away from our neighbors. We do not usually take care of the rights of the others. Through our driving, you know, we do not take care of the rights of the people. Especially the rights of the others has to be taken into account by the believing community of the Muslims in the society.
Let me add one thing. Okay. You know, these rights of the people goes mostly actually to those people who have some kind of authority over people. Mm-hmm. They have to be very, very careful about the rights of people. That's you see? In one of the narrations, Imam said, "Ja'ala Allah subhanahu huquqa ibadihi muqaddamatan li huquqihi."
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the rights of people to be kind of interaction, preamble to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
It means that if you want to be religious person, if you want to have religious government, Islamic government, you have to be careful of the rights of the public.
That's right.
Of the people.
Okay.
Even before the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. Okay.
You know, it is very important unfortunately, as you mentioned, some people, they misunderstand the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of haqqun nas, or the right of the people. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan.